Look, it's a massive question in Australia at the moment. How do we break cycles of intergenerational trauma in Indigenous communities? I mean, statistically, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and adolescents, they experience higher rates of poor health, community violence, incarceration than any other Australian children. How do we go about changing this? A not-for-profit organisation called Nyaara is working with Indigenous children and adolescents in regional and remote communities to help create loving, safe environments where young people can connect to their culture. Professor Nyaara Brown is the founding director of Nyaara. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Now, looking at what Nyaara does in these communities, it's a very holistic approach, as far as I can tell, to kind of addressing these trauma cycles.
Yeah, and there's a couple of reasons for that. So very much about a child-centric approach. So a lot of what we deliver in systems at the moment tend to focus on other, other areas, systems, policies, but we want to make sure that we're focusing on the child, that we're providing them with a voice that they can participate, we can hear them, and then looking at all of the proximal and distal environments within which they need to grow, to be nurtured, to be loved and to develop and to know who they are and be connected to their culture.
Now, well, culture is an interesting one because, I mean, how important do you see that pride in culture and connection to culture to the overall well-being of young Indigenous people?
I mean, I think it's extraordinarily important. And we've got a growing body of evidence here at home in Australia, but also from international research that shows that the better connected young people in particular are to their culture, knowing who they are, where their country is, what their stories are, what their practices are, who they belong with, it creates greater resilience and it supports them to grow into independent and strong young people. And I would like to see us do more work around that. And we know that, you know, in our communities here, we want to be able to foster a pride in what it means to be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. I'm tired of all of the negative connotations and stereotypes of what it is to be Aboriginal. We are actually smart, talented, beautiful people that have contributed to this country, and we have so much to offer, and our children are just, they have such extraordinary potential.
And I imagine that sets a foundation for kind of greater emphasis within the whole community if kids are feeling this way about their culture.
Oh, you are absolutely right. And whilst, you know, it's obviously our responsibility as adults to be able to provide the platforms and the environments for, you know, happy, healthy, smart, resilient children, we also learn so much from them. And if we were better able to open ourselves up to what it is to be a child again and to look at, you know, the world, through the eyes of a child, you know, we talk about that, it may also help us heal our own unresolved traumas. And that's what we tend to see with the intergenerational, passage of trauma and unresolved grief. The adults themselves, they're not in a place to be able to unpack their own issues. Mm. So, you know, they're not in a place then to be able to focus on the needs of their children, for example. So how do we then focus on the munchkins, but also we know that in parallel we need to deal with the unresolved traumas of other generations.
And in addition to community and society, I mean, there are some very profound health and wellbeing impacts on the individuals who've experienced childhood trauma, aren't there?
Look, absolutely. And so we know, again, and whether you're looking at, say, the adverse childhood experiences work out of the States, which was quite groundbreaking and extraordinary, and it demonstrated that the number and severity of adverse childhood experiences then impacted across the life course and across the trajectory of them growing into adolescents, young adults, and then into their later years. So things like, you know, behavioural issues, learning difficulties, mental health problems, early onset of chronic disease, for example. And we know from similar, not such large scale, but other studies in Australia, like the West Australian Aboriginal Child Health Survey, for example, we experience the same things in Aboriginal communities where our children are exposed to very high numbers of traumatic childhood experiences, be that death of a loved one, moving communities, community level violence, you know, domestic and interpersonal violence, for example, abuse and neglect, and how that impacts then on them, their ability to form and maintain positive, lasting relationships. Their ability to grow into healthy young people or to learn at school or to be able to participate in the economy and beyond.
Professor, this is a huge undertaking. I mean, how is NAORA trying to make this positive change?
great question. So, you know, obviously what we're trying to do is just, you know, one munchkin, one family at a time. But I've had some fantastic supports. We've had some initial grant funding from Commonwealth Department of Health to do some modelling. And I'm working with some amazing communities in the ACT and the Wanunga Nimitja Aboriginal Health Service. So they're helping us formulate what this might look like being delivered out of an Aboriginal medical service, a community-controlled environment. We're working with another school in northern New South Wales, which is also fantastic. And we've been invited to communities in South Australia, the Territory and Queensland. And so hopefully what we'll be able to do is tailor our response to what the needs of the children in those areas are, contextualise that. But also we're not trying to recreate anything or overlap. We're trying to add value to existing services and try and bring that together. So lots of intensive case management and bringing in expertise and specialists as required.
So it sounds to me like there's very much an attitude that a focus on the individual rewards the community later on, and that then that community folds back to help other individuals.
Well, look, absolutely. And we, you know what, it's our core responsibility culturally, and it doesn't matter what cultural background you're from, but for us to be able to focus on the needs of the young, the vulnerable. So, you know, if we're able to support them, then healthy communities, healthy economies, healthy societies are very much then reflected in how we raise our children and for them going forward to be, as I mentioned, happy, healthy, educated, resilient, and then be able to contribute, you know, and then give back.
Professor Brown, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning. Thanks for chatting to Breakfast on 2SER.